Let's start from Perek Yud Gimel Mishle. Let's try to do 13, 14, and 15 today. Let's see what we can get. Ben Kochel Musar Av, a wise son, listens to the Musar of his dad, the late Lo Shamagara. But a person who's a late, a scorner, like a guy who's just like a comedian, you know, he just never hears Musar. Like, no matter what anybody tells him, he just doesn't care. He just doesn't listen whatsoever. And I think that makes a lot of sense, you know, like somebody who wants to listen to their father's Musar, even if it's not like the best thing for you, you know, you got to take Musar from someone. So you take it, you accept it, and whatever, whether you agree with it or not, you do it. Somebody once saw me getting yelled at by a big rabbi, and he came up to me afterwards. He's like, why didn't you yell back? Like, it was something that it wasn't my fault at all. He's like, why didn't you yell back? And I'm like, what difference does it make? Like, I can get yelled at. I'm perfectly fine with it. I can handle it, and I'll do it, whatever. And maybe I was right, maybe I was wrong, but it doesn't matter. You'll eat what's good by the fruit of the mouth, the nefesh bogdim chomos, but the soul of the people that have no faith is just violence, and that's that. Really, the truth is, it comes like this. It comes with a parent. The way that a father is usually is the way that the kid ends up being. It's not the fault of the father entirely, but usually that's what it is. The way the father acts, you just sort of like listen, you see how he does things, and you just like follow suit. So if you expect your kid to do something, then you have to act in that way. It's ridiculous and hypocritical for a person to say, I can watch movies, but my son, I don't want my son watching any movies. That's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous to say, I'm going to go to sports games, but I don't want my son to go to sports games. Expect him to act like you. So if you want to act in the right way, you want your kid to act in the right way, you do that. Notes are peep shomen afsho. If you guard your tongue, your mouth from speaking lashon hara and bad words, you keep your soul. Poshe Svasov Mechitalo, but if you open wide your lips, if you open it wide open, that's your ruin. That's how bad it gets. It gets bad really, really quickly. Misav of Ayin, Nafsho Atzil. The soul of a lazy person desires things and then just doesn't get it because he doesn't try hard and he's just lazy. So, like, in the end of the day, he has taivas and he really wants to give it to them. He just doesn't do anything. Then Nafsh Charutim Tidushan. But the soul of the people who really work hard, they're going to be satisfied because they're going to have everything they want because they're going to keep trying for it and work hard. This obviously has to do with Torah study and mitzvot, that if you try hard, then you'll get everything. But if you don't, then you're going to be left with nothing. Nothing comes to you. In Pasuk Hey, Dvar Sheker Yisnat Tzadik, the righteous man hates lies. But Russia, Yavish Vyachpir, but the Russia, he stinks up the court with all his words, and he's shameful because he just says whatever appears in his mind at that time. There are people who get up there and say, I just tell it as it is. You don't tell it as it is. You're just lying or you're exaggerating. You're saying something, you know, more than what it actually is, right? Trying to pretend that you're actually doing something good, but that's not what ends up happening. Tzaka T-Rosh. Wait, what is the Titzor, thank you. There's a mistake over here. Every time that there's a tzadi in the middle of a word, for some reason it's missing it. I don't know why. Tzedakah titzor tom derech. Okay, so tzedakah preserves a person who is a good person. Rishah tzalev chatas. The risha, right, it goes the other way around. Here's the deal. Normally, when you give tzedakah, tzedakah tatzol imavis. It's usually awesome. It usually stands for you. It stands up for you. Everything you need, the tzedakah is going to take care of. Here's the deal by Rishayim. When a Rasha gives tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that he gives it to the wrong thing at the wrong time, gets nothing out of it, and there's no reward whatsoever. Nobody even talks about him because they're just like, what did that guy do? He didn't do anything. He got nothing out of it. So that's what happens when a person does not do tzedakah in the right way, right? That's the result that comes from it. Yeshua Sasha Ein Kol, there are people that are rich, right? They look rich, they act rich, and they have, but they have nothing. They drive Infinities or Lexuses or Maseratis, right? But they don't have the money for them. They just pretend to. There's a guy in this neighborhood who drives around someone else's car all the time. I don't know if you know who he is, Ellie, but I'm hoping it's not Lashon Hara, the getter of Lashon Hara. He drives around somebody else's car. It's an $100,000 car, but the guy doesn't drive it all the time. He gives it over to this kid. So the kid comes out of the car, right? Everybody thinks, oh, wow, that kid's unbelievably rich. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. He doesn't have any money behind him. Right? He just borrowed someone's car and he's walking around with it. On the other hand, there are people who look poor. You look at them and you're like, they don't look like they have any money, but they have they're unbelievably wealthy. You can see that in this neighborhood as well. People that look like they're nebuchs, right? But they're really unbelievably wealthy. You would never guess it. You would have absolutely no idea. That's the idea behind it. And so too, this goes with Torah as well. Rabbeinu Ovadia mi Bar Tanura. Have you ever heard of Ovadia mi Bar Tanura? The Bar Tanura in the Mishnayos, right? Rabbeinu Ovadia mi Bar Tanura had a brother who was extremely wealthy and supported an entire city with his wealth. That's how wealthy he was. So the Marit said one time he got to be a guest at the Bar Tanura's Bartanura's brother's house, right? He went in and he saw that the Bartanura and his family were dressed very plainly. They had like normal clothes, like normal stuff. They looked like the servants. They didn't look like anybody rich. And he couldn't understand it. He looked at it and he was just like, what in the world? This guy isn't Khashu. So he went up to him and he said, why do you do that? Why do you wear clothes that your servants wear? And he asked, and he said, listen, I send 100 gold pieces to my brother, Rabbeinu Ovadia. I send 100 gold pieces to him every single month. I keep an open house where anyone can come in and anyone can have. I can have a maximum number of guests at any time where I'm feeding them food or whatever it is. If I dressed rich, I wouldn't be able to do what I do with everybody else. So he gave out his money as much as possible or opened up his house to everyone and therefore dressed normally. These people, what we're talking about, Misroshesh, they look poor, the Hon Rav, but they have a tremendous riches in them, literally. Kovar Nefesh Ishashro. So we say riches are a ransom for a person's life. Typically speaking, right, the ability of money to be able to save you in certain situations is without doubt. V'rush lo shema ga'ara. But a poor man will never hear those threats. No one is going to kidnap a poor man to get $1 billion from him. That's not going to happen. The guy's never worried about such a thing. What do you have to worry about? It's the other way around. You demand money from the rich. I would never want to be a rich person. You know what happened last night? Last night, a guy knocks on my door, right? I'm not home. I was at yeshiva. And my wife said, I'm sorry, my husband's not home. She doesn't allow me to lock him in the house when I'm not home, which makes sense, right? So the guy like left for a second, came back, and he said, knocked on the door. My wife assumes he just didn't speak English well. She said, my wife's going to die if you don't open up the door. It's like, I'm not opening up the door. Now, granted, I don't have the money to be able to save this man's wife's life. That's not going to happen, right? So even if I was home, I'm sure I would have felt bad when I gave him my $10 check and he said, I need more than that. I totally hear that. But on the other hand, you look at this, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave riches in order that a person, you know, takes care of other people. I would never want to be that guy who has all those riches, who is, I don't want to say bothered, but like, everybody goes up to them and do this. That's rush lo shama ga'ara. If you're poor, you don't have to worry about that stuff. That doesn't bother you. Nobody's going to come up to you. Not going to happen.
How many rich people are sitting around thinking, wishing they were poor, and how many poor people wishing they were rich?
Of course, there's no question. I think what it means is to act the same way, not look it, not show it, you know, overtly show that you're a wealthy person, because then people come up to you. You know, you're Misroshesh, right? But Bahon Rav, you have the very much riches. 100%. Very good. That we say afterward, right? Or Tzedikim Yismach. The light of the Tzedikim rejoice, v'nirashayim yidach. But the lamp of the Tzedikim is going to be put out. What that means is, it's as if to say, the soul of the wicked man depends on the survival of the body, right? But once the body's gone, then the soul goes straight to Gehenna. The light goes out and it's completely extinguished. While us, the aura just gets greater. When a person dies, goes up to the highest level, it gets even brighter. That's the idea behind it. That's what happens when a tzaddik does a mitzvah, does everything great. Rak bizadon yitein ma. Only when a person is zadon, when he goes out there to do something bemazed, he goes up against a person bemazed, intentionally trying to knock him down, will something that happen back to him? Bas noatzim, chokhma. The best thing to do is to use wisdom and decide in every situation what I should do and what not to do. Contention is the word that's used over here. To be somebody who's into contention, I understand when you're a basketball player, a football player, you need to have that drive to win. The Midas Nitzachon. But Midas Nitzachon is a very difficult thing to have when you're trying to acquire wisdom. If you're trying to become a Chacham, it's very difficult. If you always want to win all the time, you're not going to listen to anybody else. If you're not going to listen to anybody else, you're never going to become wiser. You're just going to become your own. Hon Mehevel Yimat. Wealth. Mehevel Yimat. When you describe, when it comes to these types of things, right, wealth that's done by these types from Hevel, from garbage things that you do, it's never going to last. The kovitz al yad yarbet, if you gather it slowly but surely and you do it in a smart way, then it's going to increase. The best thing when it comes to this is referring to Torah study instead of actual wealth. If a person gathers his chokhmah little by little, he doesn't try throwing everything in at once, doing everything all at once, but he works little by little by little by little to be able to go through, you'll succeed. You're going to succeed. But if you try to get everything all at once and jump into 70 shirim and do all these things all at once, it's never going to work. There's no way that a person should do when it comes to that.
Hevel doesn't say like, oh, you're trying to bite off more than you could chew. It's saying that you're biting the wrong thing.
The word I'm learning is hon mehevel. If you get riches from doing hevel,
right, but hevel is nothing. It will like become the wrong thing.
Yeah, from the garbage, right? If you try doing it out of things that are garbage, in other words, working in with sheker or you
right,
know,
right? No,
like those
I agree with it. But saying if you refer to Torah, it's not talking about learning a lot.
Oh, that's what you mean.
You choose. From literally hone, yeah, mehevel yimat. Yeah,
he says, what is it over here? Right.
A good example would be gambling. If
you're 100% right.
Gambling, yeah, if you keep gambling, you might win, but then you might lose, and you're probably going
to
lose.
You're right. It's only the second part. Kovitz el yod yarbeh would be referring to the Torah, but not the first part. You're right. Tocheles mumushacha machlo leif. You know what the worst part of the heart is? When you have a hope that just lasts little by little. Here's the line that people say. It's called iyun tefillah. If you're sitting in your tefillah and you're expecting your tefillah to answer.
Rashi says, like you're saying also for the first part,
is what he's saying. Meaning, if you,
all at once.
You've covered
so he says that hevel is not hevel, but chavala. He put translates the word a little bit.
But that's more of a midrashic interpretation of changing the.
That's interesting. Tochel's mushacha machalalev. This is a guy. He's got his tefillah in, and he's expecting something. He wants it to happen right now, and he's hoping, right? And it's prolonged. That is the worst sickness the heart can deal with. It's like something that you can't deal with. Hashem, I really want this to happen. And you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. If you expect your tefillahs to come through, you have to sit there. You have to be like, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever you think is best, I'd like this to happen, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. That's the way a person has to daven. But if you're expecting it to happen, then it's horrible. The Eitz Chaim Taivaba. When your desire is fulfilled, then it's the greatest thing in the world. You forget about everything. Even if it took 10 years, I just was at a bris on Sunday of a person who waited 8 years to have a child. 8 years to have a child. I, Baruch Hashem, never had that. I never had the issue. We had a baby 10 months after we were married. I never had the issue. When you deal with somebody 8 years not being able to have a kid and going through everything, but he told me at the thing, I said, like, this is absolutely amazing. He said, the wait was all worth it. Now, obviously, you take that as it is, the last 8 years, it was painful for him. But he means that at that moment, it feels like Eitz Chaim Taivaba. It feels like the tree of life when your taiva finally comes into play. Even though you're waiting so long, you think about the now, you don't think about the past.
What is Tochelet?
Tochelet is a hope. Right, hochal or yachel. Buzz ledavor yechavolo. If you despise the word, meaning the commandment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has of you, yechavolo, then you're going to suffer by it. If you sit there and you're like, I don't like doing this stuff, I just don't like doing anything, then what do you expect? Obviously, your life is going to stink. Right? Nothing good is going to happen then. Yirei mitzvah hu yushalam. If you fear commandment, you fear mitzvos, and you really want to do mitzvos, hu yushalam, you'll become perfect. You'll have shleimus of something. There is something good that's going to happen for such a person when a person does it in that way. That's what happens over there. Chazal say that David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the need for people that are crazy in this world? Why do you need crazy people? Why do you make it? Why do you create it in the world? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to see yourself. When he was captured by Achish, the king of the Plishtim, he was brought in front of Achish. He faked it. He faked being a madman. He was drooling all over himself and saying crazy words and writing on the wall. Achish said, what, I need another crazy man in the court? This can't be David HaMelech. And he let him go. David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now I understand why you made crazy people in the world. You made it the ability for people to fool other people to get out of it. Now, that's what his svara is.
But that's why they're, I guess, useful for people who aren't that way, but what's the use for people who are?
So he says over here, if you despise the thing, you will suffer by it. You won't be able to understand the power. The actual answer is why it's in the world must be some type of a kapara, right? But what he was saying is that if you despise it, you're like, buzz ledavar. You look at madness, and you're like, that's crazy. Why would a person, why should there be shotas in the world? Yechavolo. In the end, you might need it. In the end, you might need something like it. That's the line behind it. But you're right. In the end of the day, why do we have it? Kapara of some sort. We don't fully understand that. Torah's Chacham Makor Chayim, the teaching of a wise man, any Torah that the Chacham gives, is the source of life. And yeah, that's where Makor Chayim, where they get it from. Lasur Mimokshe Mavis, it turns you away from the snares of death. If you do these mitzvos, there's a benefit that goes there spiritually and possibly even physically as well. Sechot of Yiten Chayim, good intelligence when a person acts in a smart way, Yiten Chayim, then it's going to be favor in front of every Derech Bogdim Eisan. But the way of the faithless, those who have Bogad, right, is just harsh. Eisan, it means it's very, very strong. They don't find favor even in their own eyes. They can't do anything right, and everything is just really bad for them. Kol Aram Yasa Bedas, every smart man does things with knowledge. Uksil Yifros Ivelos. A fool just spreads out his folly in front of everybody. He just does everything in front of everybody. He almost makes it like public how big of a fool he is. Malach Rasha Yipo Bara. Right, a wicked messenger, malach as in a messenger over here, right, who's an evil person, he will fall in his own evil. However, tzir emunim marpe, right, there will be good healing to a messenger who does exactly what he's supposed to do. When a person is sent to be able to do something, to do what your master tells you to do, in other words, go ahead and do whatever it is, even if it's really hard, and even if you're really upset and you can't do it, whatever it is, you'll see that there's only good things that come from it. It means you worked hard to get what you need. Resh v'kalon porea musar. Poverty, that's resh, and cologne, shame, come to people who throw out the musar that people give them. Shomer tochachas yichubad, but if you listen and keep the tochacha, you listen to the musar that people give you, yichubad, you'll be honored by other people because they'll see you're a person who's willing to accept what people have to say. They'll want to talk to you. Taiva niyatar v'lenafesh, a desire given to a person is so sweet to the souls. We said before, once you get your taiva fulfilled, v'tzavas kisilim sur mira, the abomination of all fools is turning away from evil. See, they look at that and they're like, why should I turn away from evil? What's so bad? I remember talking to a kid who was 18 years old. I do not blame him for this. This is not a blame. He was in a very, very bad place in life, and he was very into raves at the time. Very into raves and doing a certain type of drug called ecstasy. And I sat him down and I said, it's going to ruin your life. It's really going to be bad for you. You really got to work on yourself. And he was a person that I learned with. He was a good kid. It was really nothing, whatever, but he got really, really into it. I remember, he could not hear me at all. In the stage that he was in and where the place was, and when I explained, like, this is what might happen to you if you're getting involved with this now, right? We're not going to end with this. You're going to go to this. You're going to go to that, right? I even brought in a guy who I knew, unfortunately, had been into that before but had gotten himself out of it so that he could talk to him and everything like that. But the kid was like, right, but right now, it's awesome. Right now, it's really good for me. And fortunately, the guy did end up, you know, getting out of it and grew up. But it took him a long time to get himself normal again. And he kept coming up to me saying, like, I don't understand why nobody's treating me seriously. And I'm like, he had, like, I don't mean to say it this way, but like the druggy look, the druggy actions. Like, he didn't even realize it. There's no way.
Like, outer appearance, or meaning his attitude,
just
the way he acted? So if you talk to him, he seemed fine.
Yeah, I mean, no. That as well. But there was an outer appearance.
Worse than if he just wore...
A little bit of both. Yeah, a little bit of both. Like, you could tell that he just, like, whatever it was. And it didn't go away. And that's Tuavis Kisilim. They look at it and they're like, no, I don't want to turn away from evil. I want to do this. I want to do this more and more.
Is that a matter
not
of
thinking about it?
Just grow up and get it out of his system? Like, get it out? Or is it something that's actually... thank God I don't know from this. So is ecstasy something
totally
that
different.
Is that something that he needs to wean himself off of, or something that he can stop, or is that...
Everyone's totally different. Some kids, they hear it and they're like, you know what, I'll try to do that. All you need is, like, give them an example and show them somebody and just be like, you want to be like this guy.
Yeah, but somebody's
right?
Really into
sometimes.
It and think about
yeah.
it that way.
Sometimes so, it works, sometimes it doesn't.
No, but you said eventually he got a he
yeah,
stopped.
Yeah.
But because he weaned himself off, or
he
just
grew
up? And
he
just
yeah,
decided,
he just grew up. He'd been doing it for 2 years. Yeah, 2 years, and he just did it. Luckily, this guy didn't do anything worse. He didn't get into heroin or cocaine or anything like that. He stayed somewhat innocent. So that was much better. But most people don't stop themselves and they go further and further. Unfortunately, holik es chachamim, guy who walks with wise men, yechkam. Well, that's what you should do. You're going to be wise because you're going to be hanging out with people that are smart, right? Roa ksilim yeroa. But if you're a shepherd of fools, what do you think is going to happen to you? Of course, you're going to do bad like them because you're hanging out with them. What do you expect to happen at that point? You have to be able to remember, and this is important when I'm like working with high schoolers, right? If you want to be cool like the high schoolers, you're going to be a high schooler who's 39 years old and just sad and pathetic. That's not the way to go. You don't want to be a high schooler who's really 39. Then you're just a weird, weird old guy.
But then
that,
not
that's
cool.
The weird thing. That's the problem. I'm okay with not being cool. Like
no,
it's
I
the
know.
You know what I'm saying? The acceptance. What you know. The acceptance of who you are is so important because otherwise you're just along with them. You hang out with chachamim. Chatoyim tiradef ro. Sinners. Evil runs after them. They don't even have to run after it. It's just going to come to them wherever they are. But the tzaddikim, all the good comes right back to them. Whatever they need, it just goes right into their grill, so to speak. It comes right to them. Tov yanchil b'nei banim. A good man leaves inheritances not only to his kids, but to his grandkids. He thinks about everybody there. My grandfather told me not too long ago, right, that he does have an inheritance that he's giving to his children, to his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. Because he thought about every single person and said, obviously there's tiers of what he gave, right? But he decided he was going to give to everything. That's a smart thing to do. That even you don't just think about the next generation, you think about the future generation. Tzafun letzadik chelchotei. I'm missing the tzadi over here as well. Tzafun letzadik chelchotei. The wealth of the sinner could be saved for the righteous. You might think to yourself, why should I leave it for this Russia of a son of mine? I hate this Russia of a son of mine. He does all bad things. He's a horrible kid. Why should I leave it for him? The answer is, he might have kids who are tzaddikim. So you got to be smart about it. Somebody had a kid who unfortunately was, not just off the derech, he was really weird, acted all weird and was like spending money on the weirdest things and whatever it was. So they asked me for advice. I said, what should I do? There's an inheritance that came from that person's grandfather. If I give it to this kid, he's going to spend it mamish on garbage. On garbage, he's going to waste the whole thing. It was like $10,000. I said, what should I do? So I said, make a trust. Put in a trust. I said, that way you're not giving it to him directly. You create a trust. You allow for the trust to be there. You tell the lawyer of the person, you know, the grandfather that passed away, that the money should go straight into a trust. So as long as he's under 18, you can still do that. And that way the money won't be spent until 25, 30, when he's a little bit older and he'll have the money available for him. That's the way to do something like that.
The Torah's hanchalah, rules of hanchalah are only to the next generation.
It's really hard. I mean, when it comes to nachla,
I mean, it makes sense, logically, in terms of fairness, it makes sense that the next generation will.
Yeah, I think the whole point is that you can still make a will. You're still allowed to make a halachic will within the system. But I think, I guess it's...
Most states have a Persterpes law, which is like the Torah will also, women are girls, are sons and daughters are equal.
Yeah.
But it's the next generation. It splits it evenly. It doesn't matter how many are the third generation. There's a few states that have what's called the per capita, that they look down the line and see how many heads are...
That's interesting.
...descended, and that's how it is divided by the children.
No, it's so funny. My aunt was always angry because my father has seven kids. I'm one of seven, right? And I only have two cousins from one sister of my father, and the other sister has zero kids. So she was like, just like, that's not fair. My brother is going to get seven times, right? I'm going to get two times, and she's going to get like only one or whatever for herself, right? It's just not fair. You guys are taking the majority of the stuff. I think it was because of this law or something like that.
Well,
but
Illinois,
something like that. It didn't matter.
Next generation.
It didn't matter, by the way. The money didn't. It wasn't that much money anyway, but regardless, no, right? That was the idea.
You can write a will against any of these.
Oh,
things.
Of course, yeah.
These rules that's are right. If there's no will,
if there's nothing else, what happens?
Most states are like the next generation. Illinois is one of those states.
Yeah, that makes the most sense, right? Rav Ochel Nir Rashim, much food is in the tilled field of the poor person. In other words, if you go through and you look through, he leaves a lot on the table. The poor man doesn't even realize how much he actually could have if he went through and did what he was supposed to do. That's the problem with most poor people. They don't even know what they could possibly have. There's so many different grants out there to send your kid to Israel that those people who are poor don't even know about them. It's only the wealthy who know that these grants exist and they're able to get them.
What percentage of a seminary tuition could be raised?
It's a lot.
Really?
It's a lot. I mean, I'm dealing with seminary right now. It's a lot.
Really?
Thank God. Yeah, it's a lot.
I don't know.
Because I don't think normal people can afford this.
I don't know.
$27,000? No.
I have no idea.
It's $25,000. Huh. $25,000. Right? But you have government grants. You have stuff like that.
It was like 15.
Seminaries more.
Right. Yeshivas give,
and they only give one meal. Good times. Yesh nispeh below mishpat. And there is so, yesh nispeh, there is so many things that are swept away. I mean, that's why people go into it. For lack of judgment, I know a person who was a lawyer. And he went into, he made a seminary. Because he realized in Israel, he'd make more money running an American seminary than a lawyer.
Did he?
Yeah. He owns two seminaries now. Anyway, yesh nispeh below mishpat. There's this nispeh. Some people go below mishpat for no reason whatsoever. Now, this line, yesh nispeh below mishpat, if anybody knows Chagiga daf hayam adbeis, this is the Gemara that says there are people that die even if it's not their time. If anybody remembers the Gemara, Rabbi Rabbaya was friends with the Malacham Avos. We don't know what this means. Rabbi Rabbaya was friends with the Malacham Avos. Rabbi said to the Malacham Avos, what does it mean by yesh nispeh below mishpat? And the Malacham Avos said, there are times where my emissaries, my shluchim, my messengers of death, will go out and they will kill, even though the person's not meant to die. And they gave an example. There was a person who was known as Miriam Megadla Nishaya Dinoshi, who was supposed to raise the hair, Megadla Saira Dinoshi, who was supposed to die. And the messenger of the Malacham Avos killed Miriam Megadla Dardiki. Miriam, who was in charge of children, you know, like a kindergarten teacher. He said, what happened? He said, well, there was a mistake, and she ended up cursing at that time, this Megadla Dardiki, and therefore she was killed. He said, what do you do with the extra years? We add it on to people that are, you know, tzaddikim, and we give it to those people as well. But there's such a thing, and we learn out from this pasuk, yesh nispeh below mishpat, there are people that die, even though it's not your time, and it's a scary thing.
That whole story has got to be...
Midrashic.
Yeah, it's got to be...
I don't know how you can be friends with the Malacham Avos.
Right, but even once you are, like, story of mixing up, there's got to be something more either Kabbalistic or...
Yeah, that was supposed to be Mary Magdalene. That's what Rashi says, but the Rashi was taken out in Chasron HaSashas, but Mary Magdalene was...
She's only died or Miriam, was supposed to be died?
Miriam Megadla Nishaya Dinoshi.
Oh, Megadla Nishaya.
Yeah, it was Mary Magdalene. That's what it was supposed to be. There's some great stuff on it. Yeah, so there's some good stuff. There's a Tosus right there. I think he says, Emo Shel... Osoi Ish or something like that. That says right there, Miriam Megadla. But it says right there, we don't have a Chagiga here right now. But yeah, that's what it says right there. There's a Tosfos that goes into it. That's weird, by the way, because Mary Magdalene was not Mary. Mary Magdalene was the friend of Yeshu that he found in the street that he would ever...
Right,
was. It wasn't
like his
Mary, his girlfriend,
sure.
But Chas v'Shalom, right? Chosei Shivto Soni Beno. I love this one. This is my best. Spare the rod, you hate your child. Hit your child as much as possible. It'll only be good for you. That's the line. Chosei Shivto Soni Beno. Be'avo Shikaro Moser. But if you love them, you give them the Moser they need promptly. So here's the concept behind it, okay? It means if your child runs into the street and you go up to him and you say, honey, don't do that ever again. You are totally wrong and your kid will run into the street again. He has to learn a lesson. I think I've patched my kid twice. Patched one of my kids twice. I don't think I've patched any of my other kids. Okay, and the reason one time, the first time I ever patched him was this. He ran, after I told him, don't go into the street, he ran to the street to go get a ball. He came back and I pulled him inside the house, right? And without anger, because this isn't an angry thing, this is a lesson thing, I give him the biggest patch I've ever given in my life. Now, again, it wasn't like a boom. It wasn't like a kaboom, you know, anything like that. But that was a boom. And when he said it, he looked at me like all shocked, like, you just hit me. And I was just like, you cannot go into the street ever. That is the one thing that you cannot do. Absolutely not. And he learned his lesson. He still doesn't go into the street.
And
he's 16. That's one. And I think the other time he was really bad. That was bad.
He has a driver's license now.
No, not yet, but close, right? He goes through. It's really hard for him to go into a car, right? That goes through. That's what it means. You're Sonei Beno if you expect them to get the lessons. I don't mean you should hit your kid all the time. They say that the Brisker Rav had a time where he would pull his kids in on Motzei Shabbos, tell them about things they did during the week, and patch them on Motzei Shabbos for things they did during the week so he wouldn't be angry about it. And he patched them so they understood they did something wrong, but that's that. I don't know. I don't do that. I'm not I kind of want my kids to like Malava Malka and Havdalah and not dread it because they're going to be smacked every Motzei Shabbos. But
what
I think every person is different.
What is translated as?
Shicharo Moser, he says discipline, promptly. Shicharo Moser, right? He promptly goes through it, but I don't know what that means. Maybe Shachar, like quickly as the morning. Tzadik Ochel Silva Nafsho, a tzadik eats to satisfy his soul. Betron Shayim Tachsar, the belly of the wicked are always wanting more and more and more. They're always feeling like there's something more that they can have. What that means is, simply put, a tzadik eats because he knows he needs it in order to become better. A Rasha eats because he's hungry and he just wants more. So if he can gorge himself, he just grabs and grabs and grabs and grabs.
It probably also refers
to
other things besides food.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it refers to taivas in any which way when you go through. It is interesting, right? It goes through. There's a non-Jew who once invited all the people of his town to a feast. Rebbe Dustoy was among the guests. So I believe there's a Gemara story, but it's not in the Bavli. It might be in Yerushalmi, I don't know. Rebbe Dustoy reported later that the table had everything in the world, right? But there was one kind of nut that was missing. One kind of nut that he didn't have on the table. When the host realized that nut wasn't there, he smashed the table into bits, which was valued at 6 loaves of silver, 6 like, you know, things of silver itself. Rebbe Dustoy said to him, he's like, what are you doing? He said, you get the world to come. I get this world. If I don't have a nut, then I'm clearly missing things in this world. I don't even get this. And that's what it means. The Silva Nafsho, he's like, I might as well get all my stuff in Olam Hazeh. If I'm missing Olam Hazeh, then what's the point of my life? I might as well not be here anymore. Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Aleph. Chochmos Nashim Bansa Beisa, the wisdom of women builds up houses. V'yivels b'yadat terasenu. However, a foolish one will tear down everything. We all know what this refers to. Everybody knows the idea. This is from Korach. And the wife of Korach and the wife of Om Ben Pelos. The Medrash says the wife of Korach went up to Korach one day after he had shaved his head bald because of the laws of the Levium and said, you look like an idiot. You look like an absolute idiot. Shave your head bald, you don't have a beard anymore, you look like an idiot. And he said, that's the law. Moshe Rabbeinu told it to us. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu is fooling you. He just was like, he wanted to get a selfie with you guys looking like idiots.
Didn't Moshe also have to do it?
So he said, but Moshe Rabbeinu himself shaved his head. He said, Tomos Nafshi and Plishtim, right? He'll do it to make everybody else look like an idiot.
She knew who the Plishtim
were before. Right? I know, clearly, right? He said, Tomos Nafshi and Plishtim. So then Om Ben Pelos' wife looked at Om Ben Pelos and said, I don't understand. If Moshe Rabbeinu is the king, you're still going to be down below. If Dasan Aviram are king, you're going to be down below. If Korach's king, you're going to be down below. Who are you? You're never going to become king. So what's the point in fighting Moshe Rabbeinu? He said, what can I do? I'm already part of their group. So he said, I'll take care of you. Sat him inside, and then she went in the front of the house and uncovered her hair. And the people wouldn't come anywhere near, because how dare a woman uncover her hair in public? That is like, you can't even imagine such a thing. Can't even imagine. So everybody walked away, right, and that was that. Clearly, that was totally against everything halachically. On Ben Pelas's wife, right over there. That's the idea of Chachmos Nash and Bansa Besa. Right, if you walk in uprightness, you're going to fear God. But if you're devious, right, in your ways, you're going to despise the Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's something wrong. Something will get there. In the mouth of the foolish one is the rod of pride. A foolish person is a gaivetic person. He just wants to do things over and over. He's all into his ego. He's willing to do anything. The lips of the wise men will always guard them. In other words, the wise men will be able to stop themselves from saying something stupid, and immediately they'll be able to be, they'll get whatever they need over there. When there are no oxen, well, the trough is totally clean, right? If there are no oxen around, nothing eating from it, then that's there. You don't have to worry about anything whatsoever. However, produce comes by the strength of the ox when it comes down inside over here. So the pshat is that this figurative opinion is that the oxen refers to talmidim. Right, if there are no talmidei chacham, no talmidim that you're willing to discuss halacha with, then you know what happens? There's no halachic decisions. The ebus is bar. There's no water in the trough. You don't get anything. You need talmidim to get the halachas properly. You need that to happen. I listen to a shir from Rabbi First every week. He gives a shir for the rabbanim in the city. And when he goes over the shir, there's always something where somebody, there's a certain rav in the city that always adds to him. And Rabbi First is like, oh right, I forgot that. Or it goes through. Without that, it's not that Rabbi First got it wrong, he just wasn't thinking of that situation. So you need that. You need that person around who's saying something like that. That's the idea behind it. But if you have a ton of people together, if you have Rav Tavuos, tons of people learning together, coming together to be able to learn together, because sure, that's the power of the ox. That's how you get everyone together and you can come out with a tremendous amount. That's a Gemara in Tainus. A faithful witness will never lie. But a false witness, he just breathes out lies. That's what happens over there. You can go for people that are trustworthy, don't go for the other people. Bikish Leitz Chachma V'ayin, a Leitz wants Chachma, he'll never get it. Because he makes fun of everything. He's never going to get the wisdom that he needs. Das Lenavon Nakol. But knowledge is very easy for a person who's understanding. Leich Mineged L'Ish Kisil, go away from the presence of a foolish man. Bal Yadat Tisitse Das, because you will never see lips of knowledge. There's nothing you're going to learn from a person who is an Ish Kisil, a foolish person. If that's the guy, you're never going to learn anything from him. Maybe you'll learn what not to do, but you're never going to learn anything positive from a person like that. Chachma Sarum Havindarko, the wisdom of a smart man is to understand the way that he is in life. Not everybody has the same way, and he understands what he needs to do. Bivalo Ksilim Mirma. But the folly of the Ksilim is to lie and to cheat and to think that he's going in the right way, given to his Yetzer Hara. That's the problem. Avilum Yalat Hashem, guilt, right, mocks the fools themselves. Because the fools think that they have everything and they just feel guilty and they don't know what to do about it. Bein Yisharim Ratzon. Among the Yisharim, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. There's some type of extra Siyata Deshmai that they get where everything goes well. Levi Yedei Amar HaSnafsho. Only the heart alone knows your own bitterness. Abasim Chasoli Yisar Avzor. No stranger can fully share its joy. I'm sorry?
Did Gemara and Yoma say that?
I believe so. I believe so. Where is it, though? It's toward the end?
Pei Zayin? Yeah, Chesed.
Chesed? Yeah, it's very
when somebody's going to eat, and the doctor says, no, he doesn't need to eat.
Pei Gimel.
It's in the, I think it's in the story where the doctor says he doesn't need to eat, but the guy says he doesn't need to eat.
Very good.
So he says, no, lay down, I'm not going to show
you. Beautiful. That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's that. And the idea is, listen, when it comes to this, it's like, no one knows what Gehenna is like for you. No one's going to know what Olam Haba is like for you. You either get it or you don't, and that's that. But there's more to it. I think it's obvious when it comes down to it. It's true. When a person is an Avelis, nobody will ever be in your place. They can't fully understand you. But that doesn't mean they can't help. A person has told me many, many times, there are people that have told me, I can't go to a therapist. They won't understand what I'm dealing with. And that's true. They won't fully understand it. That doesn't mean they can't help you. That doesn't mean they can't do something to make it easier for you. It might be really, really hard, but there's still Levio de Amaras Nafsho. You know your own bitterness, and nobody else can come anywhere near it. But still, there can be advice given. There can still be something there. And so too, Bismchas Lizar Zar. No one's going to get the simcha that you're in. When you're really, really happy, no one's going to be able to say, like, oh man, I also get it. No, you don't. You don't get it. But at the same time, you can understand something like it. You can try to go near it. That's the idea behind it. There are two, those types of joy. There are certain joys that are unbelievable that a person can get to. Beis Rishayim Yishamed, the house of the wicked will be overthrown. But all Yisharim Yafriach, the tent of the upright is going to flourish. Only good things will happen over there. That's the idea behind it. It'll be going there. It'll just keep being fruitful and growing and growing and growing and growing. Yesh Derech Yashel Vnei Ish. There's a certain way that every person should go. V'achritza Derech Emaves. But in the end, all we have are the ways of death. And therefore, a person should always think, no matter what way he's going in life, how do I want my end to be? What do I want that to be at the very, very end? There's so many ways that a person can go. Be careful with all the ways that a person goes. Even in laughter, the heart may still ache. You might be really, really happy and laughing at somebody, whatever it is, that doesn't mean there's not something going on deep down inside. So when you see a person like laughing and acting all frivolous and happy, that doesn't mean he's truly happy. Look deep down, maybe he still needs a little bit of help. You can still go up to him and say, like, by the way, I know what you're going through and I'm sorry. That doesn't mean that they're there. V'achrisa simcha tuga. In the end of joy, there could be sorrow. There could be something there. So never assume when you see a person and say, like, oh, he's doing great, right? That's the idea behind it. So that's the idea behind it. A person should know when it goes down to it. A monarch, a king, was given a table that was unlike any other in the world. So overjoyed with that gift. So he used to bring it with him wherever he was. He wanted to show everybody so that everybody could see it, right? One chacham said to him, this is going to make you sadder than you've ever been before in your life. Right? That's what he told the king. The king went on a sea voyage, and unfortunately, they brought the table with him because he wanted to bring this table with him wherever he went, right? He didn't want to be separated from it. During the voyage, there was a massive storm, and the table fell into the water, and the king knew he was never going to get it again. He was so upset, so unbelievably upset. So the Chacham looked at him and said, I told you, the sadness that you feel now is worse than if you wouldn't have had the table in the first place. You would have lost something else. It would have been totally different. I remember I got a pack of baseball cards from 1989, right? It was only a few years ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, right? Donruss. Very good. So I found in there, I was like, there was a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card in the pack of cards. Somebody gave it to me, and I was like, oh, looked it open or whatever it was, looked it through, and I found like players in 1989, like Jerome Walton I found inside there.
When
you know?
Did you get this?
It was like 5 years ago, six years ago. Oh. Yeah, somebody gave it to me. It was like one of those old-time packs.
Closed pack, right.
And I was like, oh, this is so exciting, and I found a Ken Griffey Jr. I'm like, no way! And I was so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, Ken Griffey Jr. is probably worth like $300. I can't believe it. I was like so excited, right? Like, and I looked it up. 75 cents. And I was so upset. Like, the rest of the night, I was depressed. It was better that I didn't get the pack than getting it and having this happen to me, obviously. It's like, it's the strangest thing in the world.
Still, it was super exciting to open up a pack from 1989. That's so exciting.
So exciting. It was awesome. But yes, it was exciting. But it made me really, really upset. And that's what I mean.
They had these, when the lottery was like $1.5 billion,
yeah.
They had like the...
I remember I won, yeah.
The top 10 worst lottery stories. But people, like, horrible, horrible things that happened to people who won the lottery. And remember one of the guys who was like, his life really was
ruined.
Like, ruined. He's like, I wish I'd never. He like, he
of course,
never
they
won
wish they wouldn't have won. Yeah. Lose their families, lose their business, lose everything. Yeah. It's good times. Still, it doesn't mean that I didn't buy a lottery ticket. I didn't win, by the way. Midrach of Yispa Suglev.
You're just one of the guys we spoke about earlier who was really rich but still like...
I went together with another rabbi. I said, maybe the schools of both of us will be able to work. But it didn't. We both weren't worthy. Midrach, somebody in North Carolina or South Carolina was worthy, unfortunately. Midrach of Yispa Suglev. Somebody who's corrupted of heart, somebody who's turned of the heart. Midrach of Yispa, he'll be satiated, right, with his own ways, thinking that he's good. May Olav Ish Tov, a good man is going to... be able to stay away from him. He's like, you know what, I don't want to be near that guy because he's not going to change. I can change. Pesi Amin Michael Dover, a simple man believes everything somebody tells him about Arum Yavin LaShuro, but a smart man thinks about everything that happens to him he wants to go through. Chacham Yorei V'Somira, a wise man is afraid and he turns away from evil. K'sil Misal Biro Boteach, but the fool oversteps, he's totally confident, he sees himself. See, a smart man understands that he's half guilty, half innocent. So everything he does turns him in the right direction. So therefore, he has to make sure that he always does the right thing at the right time. But K'sil, a fool, right, all he does is he says, I know I'll be okay. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm for sure somewhere good. That's what ends up happening. He doesn't work in himself whatsoever. This is a guy who doesn't consult with people that are wiser than him and just thinks, I can do everything on my own. I don't need anybody for this. I'm fine on my own. A guy who's quick to anger, he does only foolishness. But a man of wicked plots in his head, he'll be hated. Because everybody knows he's out to something and they just don't know what he's doing. The simple people inherit right foolishness and bad things in this world. But the smart people will just get more and more das and go further and go further. Shachu Rayim Litnei Toivim. The evil people are brought low in front of the good people. Rashayim al Shari Tzadik, and the Rashayim are at the gates of the righteous people. That's how good it is. Gamla Rayo Yisone Rush. A poor man is hated even by his friends. Everybody hates him. A poor man. Even his friends don't like him. Ave Asher Rabin. But the loved ones of the Asher are very many. Now listen to this. Now it looks like it's awesome to be rich. If you're rich, you got a bunch of friends. If you're poor, everybody hates you. Clearly, that's not the idea behind it. The idea behind it is don't live under the illusion that the people that you think are your friends are your actual friends when you're wealthy. The people that are your friends are only trying to use you and abuse you and get everything. And as soon as they're gone, Mike Tyson, I think, is the greatest example. You know how many Lamborghinis that guy gave to other people in the height of his day? None of them stood up for him when he lost everything. I'm sorry?
Antoine Walker.
He was
in the Celtics.
Celtics,
he had
$100
million over the course of NBA career.
Lost everything.
He would
for
buy,
sure.
Like, Rolls Royces for his friends.
Yeah,
which is a good
for sure.
Friend, but.
Latrell Sprewell, he made $96 million in one contract for the New York Knicks. Lost everything. I don't know what Joakim Noah is, but that guy doesn't seem like he's going to be doing much either.
Right, he was just at the Bulls game.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm.
He's got nothing to do?
No.
He made $75
He's making tons of money doing nothing.
Yeah, doing nothing. Ugh. Now, why didn't I become a 7-foot guy, you should
blame your parents.
That's so upset. Well, the Asher Rabin, it's not that way. The poor people, they may look like they're hated. It just means that their friends are real friends. The people that they hang out with really like them. That's what it means. Bazo Eyokote, if you despise your fellow man, that's a bad thing. Mechonin Anavim Ashrov, but if you're gracious to the poor people, everybody's happy with you. You're a good person. Pazo Chavbez, Halo Yisano Chorshira. Those who go astray, they're people who plow evil. They only want to be involved in evil. Chesed emes chorshe toiv. Lovingness and chesed and emes, right, are for those who go for the good and all go about the good itself. Pasuk of Gimel, b'chol atzev yamosar. Listen to this. The more sadness you have when it comes to certain things in life, it'll be better for you. Dvar tzvasayim ach l'machsor. More words just means you're going to lose more as well. What that means is like this. Some say etzav refers to labor and working hard and whatever, and obviously you're going to get extra and stuff like that. But it means, instead of being overly confident, have a little bit of fear within you. And that way, you know you're going to profit. You're going to work hard on yourself, and you're not just going to expect things to come into your hand. One of the biggest issues that I see nowadays with a lot of high schoolers is that they have expectations. Like, it's like things are coming to them. Like, I just expect everything to be there for me. Like, what do you mean? Like, how did I not get the test beforehand? Like, I remember today, I told
him, this.
I think it has a lot to do with it. I gave a test today, and I said, here's the deal. You want to use your notes? Take a -8 in the beginning of the test. You don't use your notes.
I'll do it.
You don't use your notes, right? You get 0 points off, right? A guy complained to me the entire time. He's like, I can't believe you're -8, right?
Is that 92?
No. The guy got a 65 using his notes. A 65 using his notes. He was complaining the most. Like, how can you take off 8 points? Dude.
But you know what?
Like, even with your notes.
But it makes sense, though, that he would be the one complaining because he knew that
he knew.
He's not going to do well with his notes.
No, so it still takes off.
If you gave him, he would have got a 73.
I totally get it. But no, you get a 65. You got a 57.
Oh,
minus another 8. Oh. It was so bad, right? It was not very good.
He would have passed and versus failed.
65
is a D.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that. Anyway, D, I don't think he passed with a D either. But Yosef Atzadik added on words and lost because of it. He added on words. He spoke out the dream to the butler, and then afterwards said, oh, and by the way, remind Paro about me when you get back. Remind Paro that I happen to be in jail at that time. He added on words, and what happened? He lost. He lost 2 years of his life sitting in jail because he had said such a thing. So that's that. Another thing, and this is harsh, don't add too many words in tefillah. Don't be too overly exuberant in your tefillah. I don't think exuberant, maybe that's not the word, that's like excitement. Don't be overly loquacious in your tefillah. Don't speak more than what you need to. Say what you need to do, and that's that. But when your tefillah goes on and on and on, that's not part of what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. It's an interesting line over here. The Yerushalmi says, make sure that in your tefillos, you do it a little bit less. Not as much as you possibly could. I tell Chachamim Mashram, the crown of the Chachamim is when they are rich. When you see a Chacham that is rich, then it's a crown for them because they use their riches wisely and they know what to do with it. Yivelos, Ksilim, Yivelos. The folly of fools is just folly. They don't do anything good with it. Their whole life is just, about going from one to the other itself. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi used to honor the rich, the wealthy people in the world. He used to say that you're using your riches well, you're using them wisely. That's the person I like. Matzo Nefosh is 8 MS. Somebody who saves people, right? It's an 8 MS. An aid that's true can save lives. Can absolutely save lives. Yafiach Kzavim Yirma. The guy who breathes out lies, all that does is tricks people and knocks them down. Biras Hashem Yitachayiz. In the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is confidence, there's security when you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that Yiras Hashem. Lebanu Yamachseh. people's children will have a place of they'll have a place to protect them. Something will protect them wherever they go. And in Pasuk Chav Zayin, Yiras Hashem Akor Chayim, the fear of Hashem, as we said before, is the source of life. L'sorim Mokshem Avos, it takes you away from that snare of death. By the way, Be Yiras Hashem. I think the word is Be Yiras over here. Mm-hmm. Is it B'yiras or no?
Yeah, Chavav.
B'yiras is the Gematria of 613. B'yiras Hashem. It's done on purpose that Yiras Hashem connects with the Torah. B'ravam Hadras Melech. If you've never heard this puzzle before, you're not a Jew. B'ravam, when you have a lot of people, Hadras Melech. Right? That's the hitter of the king. That's why you go to the biggest minion possible. You try to go to the people and get as many people together as possible. When you have a Tehillim session or whatever, B'ravam Hadras Melech. You're supposed to have such a thing. Get them all together. That's the king's splendor. However, that's not the best.
Which
is
usually the smallest.
Yeah. Just Baruch Hashem. The Efes La'om Mechitas Razoin. When there's a lack of people, that's the ruin of princes. That's that. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? When you have like a team that has a full stadium, you know that something's awesome with that. With that, that's Hadras Melech. Everybody's impressed or whatever it is. Something like that.
Terrible.
I don't care. It's still, but they're known as, that's a team. The F is long, but when you don't have the people, Mechita Razon, it's just the ruin of all these princes. Like, nothing goes down when it comes down to there. Right? That's the idea behind it. Sometimes the sign of a good king is the size of the amount of princes he has around, meaning advisors he has around him. Baravam, the more people we have that are helping you out, whatever it is, Hadras Melech. That's how we know. Okay, Erech Abayim Rav Tvuna, if you're slow to anger, you will have much more understanding because you'll be able to go through. If you get angry really quickly, you'll never be able to hear the full story. Ktsar Ruach, Mary Mivelis, somebody who's hasty and answers, then all the folly that comes through him, it's just going to go further and further. Pasuk Lamed, Chai Besaron Lev Marpe, a healing heart is the life of all busser, of all flesh, rakavat almost kina. But jealousy, it rots all the way to the bones. When you're jealous of other people, not only does your outside get affected by it, your whole body is affected by it, even in the inside. You can't deal with anything. You can't deal with anything whatsoever. That's rakavat almost kina. When you're jealous, the worst things happen to that person. Oshik dal kerev oseyu. If you oppress a poor person, you are doing a degradation to everyone. That's the worst thing in the world. What is this poor person going to possibly do to you? Stop it. Mechavdo chonin avion. Somebody who honors him, well, that is gracious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so to speak, somebody is chonin avion, you're honoring Hashem. Barasu yidcha rasha, a wicked man is thrown down by his own evil. Bechosu moset tzadik, but a righteous man, even when he's dying, is secure. He knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with him and going to help him even while Mahaba. Puzzle and Gimel. Believe in to do a chachma. In the heart of understanding, there's always wisdom. But karb ksilm tibada, there's always das. Or you will know when somebody is an actual fool. Tzedakah can even lift up a nation. This is what Daniel darshaned when he told Nebuchadnezzar that the way to save himself from the evil decree that was decreed upon him in his dream was to give tzedakah. Nebuchadnezzar did give tzedakah, but it wasn't good. Bad things happened to Nebuchadnezzar because of it. But tzedakah to Romim Goy, it can lift up even a nation. Even a nation can be brought up if they do tzedakah.
The U.S. government probably gives more money to charity than any other entity.
Rabbi Baruch Ber said that is why America will never have an outside war on their soil from 1910 and on. They will never have an outside war on their soil because they give so much to
Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor, technically. I hear you. But it wasn't supposed to be that way. Once the U.S. government became very generous, and it really happened around the 1910s, 1915, whatever, around that time, became generous, gave Sundays off and then started giving, tzedakah, all these people, whatever, all these things, right? I guess you can say like liberal programs, right? Once they started doing it, the tzedakah that goes through.
Internal programs in Europe are probably more liberal than the ones here. I mean, healthcare and workers'
you're right,
rights and everything.
Not totally like
but
that, yeah.
The U.S. also gives, I mean, the amount Medicare. Of money and AIDS yeah, programs in Africa right. Or financial aid
very
other
good
countries.
All other countries
no other
yeah. That's very good, that's very very good. I didn't think of that, that's right, but that's happening. Chasluumim chatas, however, the chesed of certain nations is a sin for them because they're not doing chesed for the right reasons. And because they're not doing chesed for the right reasons, it leads to only their own destruction because they think they're doing the right thing and they're not. Ritzon melech la'eved maskil, the king's favor is toward a servant that is very wise. Avrosotia mevish, the wrath is toward one who acts with embarrassment, who does something totally, whatever it is. That's the, unfortunately, humiliation when it comes through. All right, Perek Tesvav, we're not going to be able to finish again. How many psukim are there? 30. Oh man, we're not gonna be able to finish.
When are you going to Israel?
We'll stop with that.
Doing that trip?
We'll stop with that, right?